Swing Cash.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to She's Got Time. I'm your host, Swing Cash. I am so happy and blessed that you took out time to join us for another episode, episode 14 to be exact. Look, I'm super excited for us to get into the interview portion of this podcast because we have a great guest for you today. But you know how we started out every week. We start with the rewind, the week that was. Well, this past week, we opened up March and everybody thinks about March Madness. But for me, I also was thinking about Women's History Month. This month is so important because we take time out to celebrate not only women that have paved the way for us, but women who are currently being trailblazers. So like I said, I'm excited about the interview today because we have a wonderful guest named Sue Roden who will join me later on in the podcast. But this past week, not only was it the start of Women's History Month, the start of March Madness, it also was a time for me to celebrate one of my dear friends and closest friends in Tamika Catchings. Tamika Catchings recently was named the new vice president of basketball operations for the Indiana Fever. Catch and I started out as rivals when she was at Tennessee and I was at UConn playing against each other in college. Went on to the pros and forms a friendship / sisterhood that will last way beyond our playing careers. And so I'm excited to see this new step in her journey. So as it is Women's History Month, I would like to uplift her and celebrate her and just give a clap for Tamika Catchings. Also, this last past week, there was a little milestone for me, for you moms that are out there. You know, I like to sometimes share my experience with my son, Saint, and I had an opportunity to drop Saint off at school. And recently, I've been traveling a little bit more, and his dad and I have noticed that he's at that age where when you drop him off for school, which he goes a few days a week, he starts kind of hanging on your leg, doesn't want you to go. But as soon as you're gone, he just locks right in and he has a great time. But, you know, I had an opportunity to drop him off. And as I was leaving out the door, trying to sneak out really quick so he didn't see me, I hear this little voice say, bye-bye. And I turned around and it was Saint sitting at the table with the other kids having a snack and waving bye-bye to mommy. So, of course, you know, me being the emotional sob that I am, I went out the door and got really emotional because for me, it was like looking at this kid that has slowly started coming into his own. And that was like a milestone moment for me. So he was like, bye-bye, basically saying, see you later, mommy. I'm about to have fun without you. So that was really cool. Lots of fun. And it made me feel really, really good because as a working mom, sometimes we're really hard on ourselves and mommy guilt, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, is real. But for me, this was a moment that I wanted to just bottle up looking at his face and his little voice and say, you know what, son, mommy's got this and you have this too. So we got that down pack. We got the bye-bye. And so I'm hoping that it will continue on for weeks to come. But next, we have a great interview in store for you. And so I want you all to listen in to a woman that I highly respect, that I've worked with in the past and has done amazing things for women, especially here in New York and now and across the country. Well, I'm excited because we have a special guest today for She's Got Time. We go back, kind of way back, right?
We do. We have way back.
We have some history. So first, let me introduce you all to Sue Roden. Sue and I have worked together, known each other for a very, very long time. Sue is not only an amazing, I like to call you kind of that person that's a bridge. You kind of bring people together, connecting the dots. You are definitely a connector. But she currently right now is the president of Stars and Strategies. She also is the founder of WISE, Women in Sports and Events.
Correct.
And let's just jump into it real quick, Sue, because one of the things that I've admired when I first found out, I didn't know about WISE when we first met, but I knew that you were in the business of representing different athletes, being that connector and connecting athlete with brands and also with television opportunities. But what made you want to start WISE and then also tell them exactly what WISE is and how you've grown throughout the years?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. We do have a history. That's
definitely get back into that. But no stories, though, Sue.
Yeah, those anecdotes for another time. But anyway, all good. But thank you and congratulations on this podcast. So why I started back in 1993 was actually before I started working with athletes. I was at a small sports marketing agency, and I had an issue at work. And the issue was gender-related. It was pay-related. And I think you could probably figure out what it was in that I felt there was a disparity regarding my salary and a male counterpart with a similar title, etc. Without going into too much detail, I really needed advice. And again, this is 1993 or thereabouts, and I didn't know that many people in the industry. I didn't know that many women in the industry. So I asked around and I didn't know what to do. And I ended up getting some advice from my older brother, who was an attorney, and he gave me some good counsel. But it got me thinking, and I wondered if there was an organization for women who work in the business of sports. I knew about the Women's Sports Foundation, which focuses on participation and advocacy for athletes, especially in girls and women. But was there an organization, a professional organization for women who work at the various leagues or at the various sporting goods companies, et cetera? There didn't seem to be one. And so along with four other women, we thought, you know what, let's kind of have a trial balloon. And back in the day, there was a sports bar on Central Park South, Mickey Mantle's restaurant. Mm. Mickey Mantle's. It was quite a popular place to go.
Stories there, huh?
I think there might be. Yeah. not involving me by any stretch, but no, it was a good local, you know, sporty place, good location. And we decided we would host a breakfast. And this is pre-email. You asked me about social media before.
Oh, you're taking us back a little
bit. We're going to go back to like papyrus and hieroglyphics, I think. But no, seriously, this was old school. This was back in the day. And so we sent out actual letters to everyone we knew, myself and these four other women I knew. And we said, we're having an exploratory breakfast on such and such a date. It was November of 93. And because we're thinking maybe we might like to look at the possibility of having a networking organization, mm-hmm. an informal networking group for women who work in sports. And we didn't even ask for RSVPs. The folks at Mickey Mantle said, whoever shows up, we're going to have a spread. We thought it could be the five or six of us, maybe 10 people. 60 women showed up, which was crazy. Yeah, exactly.
So 60 we said, women.
60, 6-0. So we thought, I think there's something here. And so we spent that breakfast. Everyone went around the room and just introduced themselves, where they worked. And you knew, you could just tell if all those people made the effort to show up, that there was something there. And I have said before, and I'll repeat it, that if the only outcome from that initial gathering was that maybe once a month we'd all meet at such and such a location after work, just to, you talked about connecting, just to expand our network so that if someone had a question and you didn't know the answer, you might be a phone call away from asking, who do we know who knows how to do this? Because Swin, you may know, and your listeners might know, very often women think they have to know everything. Mm-hmm. They have to be perfect. We have to know everything, and that's not true, and it's ridiculous. But if you start meeting a lot of people who are bright and willing to share, then the example I've given in the past, let's say you have a project and it involves licensing of material, like I don't know anything but licensing, but we ask someone, like, who do we know who knows that? And you're connected, and it helps you. And so when someone says, can you do this project? Instead of saying, no, I know nothing about it, you say, let me get back to you on that. You know what I mean? Let me look into that. Like, maybe, but let me get back to you. So anyway, that's how it informally started, right? And so we began having these breakfasts at Mickey Mantle's restaurant about once a month, every 6 weeks. And we would have an occasional speaker. This is like 93, 94. One of our first speakers was a woman who was just starting out. Her name was Robin Roberts. So like, I have the funniest
picture. I think we know her.
You've heard of her, right?
I've heard of her.
So I have this great black and white glossy photo of Robin and me with very unusual haircuts and hairdos back from 94. I still have it. So we had speakers. Suzanne Smith, who you know well, director at CBS Sports, was one of our earliest members mm-hmm. and proponents, supporters. And so we would have these meetings. I would say, oh, yeah, you're the group that had those events at Mickey Mantle's. That's sort of how we were known. And it was great. And it was fine. And it was, again, very informal. But then we had began to have traction and we began to grow organically. And one milestone, if you will, or one, you know, inflection point was when a woman who was in our inner circle, who was an attorney at IMG here in New York, her colleague from their headquarters in Cleveland at the time was coming in and wanted to have lunch with me and Ernestine Miller, one of our co-founders. And because she was interested in the possibility of starting a chapter in Cleveland. So the word chapter is like, you could almost hear like the harps going like chapter. Uh-huh. And you hear like, you know, the bells are going off like chapter. So we said, oh, and it's almost at the same time, Washington, D.C. had interest in a chapter. So it's like, oh, this is getting interesting. So over time, we did see chapters crop up in various locations.
And you're at, I believe you're at 10 chapters, correct, right now?
At the moment, 21, with more on the horizon.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're 21. And we're now international because we have Toronto.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're in Canada right now.
So,
it's exciting.
So you started out where there was a problem.
Yes.
And because there was a problem, there wasn't an answer.
Correct.
You figured out how to make a solution.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't invent anything new. There there was, you know, women, advertising women of New York, women in PR, women in this, women in that. So it wasn't like we invented something new, but we looked at a model like these organizations exist. So over time, just to wrap it up, we became more professionalized with, you know, with bylaws rather, and, you know, getting more professional over the time. So now we have all these chapters, and we have a New York group that's, I'm on the national board, and then we have a New York City chapter and chapters all over. It's great.
All over. And so what has been the greatest reward of seeing that come to fruition and now still being able to help support women in the industry and even younger women that are coming into the fold now?
Yeah, one of our taglines or our tagline is Wise Works. And we coined that for two reasons. One, to distinguish ourselves from other, the Women's Sports Foundation, we're about women who work in the industry. So the emphasis on work, but also that it works, that it is a useful, viable way for women to enrich their career. So we're the leading voice and resource for women who work in the business of sports. That's our, you know, our mantra, if you will. Our website, by the way, is wiseworks.org. I shouldn't forget that.
Yes, wiseworks.org. Make sure you check it out,
ladies. Thank you very much.
And gentlemen, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can learn something from some women.
We have people helping. We used to say women helping women in the business. Now it's people helping women, because we have a lot of male.
Because you need allies as well.
You need allies. And so to answer your question, one of the takeaways is just the progress to see how Wise works. So we hear these stories all the time. It can be as simple as the fact that we have someone in the Chicago chapter who now moves to Miami and can automatically have a network of people if she's new to that market, because she can get involved with the Wise chapter there. We've seen many women who had to relocate, and they just, you know, get involved with that local chapter, and it's an amazing immediate network for them, which is great. We have a mentoring program called Wise Within, where younger women are matched strategically one-on-one with more seasoned, more veteran women and men who have been mentors. And they it's a pretty structured program. So that is one example of the kinds of benefits there are for women who, you know, and members of the organization.
So when you think about kind of where Wise was back then and where you are now, there are a lot of women that I hear from on social media or that email us, and they have a wonderful idea and they're just trying to figure out how they take that first step. What was it in you or your other colleagues, founders of Wise, what did you see was kind of your initial first step? What made you kind of take that step in the direction to start this organization?
Right. So as you said, there was I had a situation, a problem, and I thought I knew I needed, it would be helpful to have more of a support system. And how can we do that? Well, let's look at starting an a group. It could be social. I didn't care. You know, I would have been very happy with that. But I think you need allies. You know, I think it's hard sometimes to do things on your own. So you need supporters. I had a conversation recently with a woman who was interested in starting a group for women in sports from South Asia. And she's real, really bright young woman who played professional tennis and went to an Ivy League school, really, you know, has great abilities. And I said, you need to get a team around you. Like, you know, think about this person, you know, and
so it's
letting
important
people
to put the team letting people
first
around
of all, let people
you.
Know what you're doing, right? You can't lock yourself in a room. Let's be
well, sometimes that's what we do as women. We just think we have all the answers. So it's like, all right, let me get it done.
Or I have to do it all myself.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for collaboration and not feeling like you have to own everything, you know, and give credit where credit is due, and really tap into talents of various people. Because even if you look at our national board or any of the chapter boards, we suggest that that board be comprised of a variety of women with a variety of skill sets. So it would be helpful to have someone who has expertise in communications, marketing, sponsorship. A lawyer is very helpful for your bylaws and whatever. So to have a combination of women with complementary skills. So yeah, I think women sometimes feel they have to do everything themselves and do it perfectly. No, not really. You know, you have a great idea. Seek out people or ask people you trust if they could recommend someone else to talk to and say, could I take you out for coffee? I mean, or could I come to your office for a few minutes? Most people would say yes to that, you know, unless they're so, so busy, they can't, you know, they're just overwhelmed. But most people are pretty generous with their time. And you know, so seek out people you admire and or people you trust and get some suggestions and start talking to people and say, "This, I have this idea. What do you suggest would be a good, do you have any ideas or suggestions for how I could take this to the next level?"
So the era that we're in right now, and obviously we have the Me Too movement that's happening, and that I feel is shedding light a lot, I think, especially in our world, the sports industry. We're seeing more and more women now where teams and leagues are saying, okay, we need to have those women in the rooms where decisions are being made on teams, whether it's coaching, whether it's advising. We just saw
Jessica Mendoza
recently. Yes, yeah, Jessica Mendoza today getting announced with the Mets. We've seen Sue Bird that's taking the realm out there with the Denver Nuggets, Becky Hammon, the NBA side. It's there. We've had a woman coaching in the NFL. Why do you think it's important that we try to, as women, get those opportunities or those roles, sometimes that are non-traditional because we haven't been there before. But why is it so important for us to try to seek those opportunities?
It's important because, again, like Becky Hammon or Sue Bird or Kelly Kruskoff, right, in Indiana, you know, once women get over that threshold, they inspire other women to see that there's really no limit. You know, when I was growing up, again, you know, let's get the newsreel going backwards here, but, you know, women traditionally didn't seek out certain professions for the most part. That's all changed. You know, if you look at law school or medical school classes now, it's probably 50-50, if not, you know.
Yeah, the numbers are there. They're there.
That wasn't always the way. So over time, perceptions and stereotypes about who should be in what job change. And I mean, look at all the female athletes. I've talked about the fact that I saw an unanticipated benefit of Title IX, and you're an example of it, right? That women who benefited from Title IX not only had the opportunity to go to college on a scholarship and all that, but I've seen women who played collegiate sport, whatever the sport might be, they're different from the women I know growing up. Their confidence level is fantastic. All the benefits of playing sports, teamwork, collaboration, focus. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here.
No. You know what? I'm shaking my head. For those of you that can't see us, you also can go to YouTube at She's Got Time and watch this, the video of this podcast. But for those of you who are listening, I'm shaking my head while Sue's saying this is because I've had conversations. We both have had conversations with CEOs and business people of major companies. And one of the things they always say is when they're hiring, they love to hire former athletes. And they're not talking about professional athletes. They're talking about athletes that have been on a team that understand the intensity, how to focus. It just helps in business. And so when I go and speak on college campuses, I'm always trying to get athletes to understand that there's value in you playing sports here that'll last even longer after you finish college.
Yeah, I just felt that women I was meeting, you know, of a different cohort, different generation, were different from my generation in all the best possible ways. They, nothing was too overwhelming for them, you know, and it wasn't cockiness, it was confidence, which was so refreshing. They knew, you know, they were just not daunted by anything and had great goals and aspirations. And I've always said, I think that's an unanticipated benefit of Title IX, was giving women confidence to do whatever they wanted to do in their professional life. You know, not everyone's going to be a professional athlete like you, right? So if they were going to, you know, join a league or join any kind of company. And I know Ernst & Young is doing a lot in this area now. Previously, years ago, the Oppenheimer Funds did a research survey, and they looked at, you know, top female executives and the percentage of those women who played sports growing up. You look at Melinda Gates, Meg Whitman, on and on and on, women who have done well in industry, many of them played collegiate sports. And so there might be a connection.
Well,
there.
So all of you parents that are
Come
out there
on,
that have young
outside.
Girls, we need to get those kids outside and playing sports.
There
Not only
go.
Is it important because it helps, like we said, after college, but here's a little bit of homework for you. Go, for those of you saying, okay, what is Title IX? Google is a heck of a resource. Go and read about what Title IX is and why we say to get your kids involved in sports, because your young daughter can have the same opportunity as your son to be able to get a full scholarship, partial scholarship, whatever it is, to go to college. And that's because of women that fought to have that legislation passed. And there's so many benefits to it. So thank you for bringing that up. I want to make sure that people understand.
Check that box, absolutely.
but let's just move along to currently right now, being president of Stars and Strategies. Mm-hmm. And obviously, at one point, I want to tell the audience, you represented me. And we used to have these really great conversations. And I always loved the fact that you were very authentic. You were to the point, and you would say, hey, like, if there was something that I wanted to do, we'll try to do it. But you always kept things realistic. Mm-hmm. And I feel with a lot of times female athletes, we get put into this box, and you know, it drives me crazy because I was always the one that wanted to be outside of the box and not in the box. From the time that you represented me to where we are right now, mm-hmm. in the current space, mm-hmm. in the climate, have you seen much of a change? And if so, what does that change look like?
So I'm a bit of an optimist. I like to see the glass half full. I do believe things are getting better just in terms of the opportunities for girls and women in sports. And I think many of us saw the fantastic Nike commercial that ran during the Oscars.
Yes.
Serena Williams doing the voiceover and all the clips.
So powerful. It was
incredible.
So powerful.
I got the chills watching that. You know, I could watch it over and over and over again. It was fantastic. So, yeah, you could say, well, of course Nike would do it. It's an endemic and it's Nike. But, you know, they didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And that was terrific. But, you know, over the years, the Olympics, of course, have always been a great platform for female athletes. Would we like to see better attendance, better ratings, better this, that, and the other thing as it pertains to women's sports? You know, that's an ongoing debate, how people watch or, you know, take in that content. But when the product's good, I mean, you know, whether it's the Women's World Cup, ratings were off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance was off the chart, whether it was in 99 at the Rose Bowl and that whole tour, even in past World Cups, you know, tremendous events. Yeah, I guess to answer your question, I think that things are getting better, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's as big a deal. I think you're seeing more, you know, you've seen the crowds at, let's say, a Liberty game, and a lot of men are there. You know, it's not like an old girls club, right? So I see a lot of fathers and daughters, mm-hmm. or fathers and sons, and people who like the sport. I feel like the sport, for me, basketball, tennis, I mean, yes, Roger Federer is very different from Serena Williams or, you know, Nadal is different from Sloane Stephens.
Yeah, I think the performance is there, Sue. But I guess my other part of the question is, are the brands, are the support, mm-hmm. are they investing the dollars? Yeah. Are they signing up these athletes, mm-hmm. as role models? Are the difference between a speaking engagement coming with someone that has 3 gold medals that's, mm-hmm. a female versus, mm-hmm. a guy that has, mm-hmm. 3 gold medals, what does that look like? Are we still understanding there's some disparity there?
It could be, but, you know, by the same token, you're seeing companies like Procter & Gamble have invested robust dollars female athletes, right?
Absolutely not. I actually just did recently a secret campaign with Procter & Gamble, and
they're backing it up. I mean, they've stepped up, and there's a lot of companies that are. So I think there is progress being made, and I think as you have more and more females in positions of decision-making roles.
And, I guess, with those brands.
Yeah. Or, and
corporations.
Or, as we call them, Title IX dads.
Yeah.
Or great, who have daughters.
Yes.
Then you're going to see progress. And, you know, good for those companies. And I'm always interested to see companies like Procter & Gamble, the non-endemics, like, mm-hmm. Nike, like, yay, Nike for that ad.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it's Procter & Gamble or, you know, a financial services company that's celebrating an athlete, a female athlete, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, because we get to see the sports industry, whether it's the Nikes, mm-hmm. the Adidas, the Under Armours.
Mm-hmm. You would hope they would do that.
Yeah, that's in their wheelhouse. When we go to the entertainment space, the lifestyle space, mm-hmm. are we still looking at those female athletes, mm-hmm. and making sure we're investing there? I guess that's the other part of the question. And I actually want to ask you another thing too, Sue, and kind of along this lines, we talked about earlier the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. and everything that's happening and what wise does to support women. Two-part question. Have you noticed within your organization, women of color, that you've had to address maybe the landscape of, because we talk about diversity and inclusion a lot of times, I'm hearing more and more from women of color that we feel that we're part of an organization, but we're not necessarily included all the way. You've always been a wonderful ally to me, and I know to other women. And so I'm wondering how you navigate through that space and what advice you would have for other women that are saying, you know what, I may not be a woman of color, but I am an ally, and I want to know how I can support or how I can be active in my space.
Right. And, you know, I'm very, very happy to say and honest to say that WISE is incredibly diverse. I mean, not only and the women we're going to be honoring this year. Of the we have our 25th WISE Women of the Year. This is the commercial portion of WISE. On June 25th. On June 19th. And because it's the 25th, we're doing Women of Distinction. So we're honoring five women who are superstars.
A killer lineup, yes.
A killer lineup. And two of the five women are African-American. And it wasn't, we didn't say, oh, we need them, but we're very happy that we have that. The president of WISE, Kathy Francis, is an African-American woman. The president of the New York City chapter is African-American. And when you come to our events, it's incredibly diverse, incredibly diverse. So I would like to believe that everyone is welcome. And I hope that everyone feels welcome. And I see that everyone makes an effort. You know, when it comes to mentoring, I like to think we're colorblind. You know, that's the best thing I could say about that is that we want everyone to feel comfortable. And the day before our luncheon, we have our annual symposium, the WISER Symposium. And again, we make a real effort to make sure that we have a very diverse lineup of speakers so that, you know.
You're intentional in making sure.
And
I think a lot of times,
it's a great word.
A lot of times we get women who say, well, I'm at work, I'm in my corporate space, and I look around and I don't see a lot of women who look like me or people that can relate to me. And sometimes I always say this is, you have to have communication because people may want to help or support. And it's we're in that day and age where you say one thing, you tweet something, and it's just, it can go bad really fast. But when you sit down and have a conversation, people get to know you.
Correct.
There's opportunity for them to be engaged and be intentional about being inclusive.
Right. And to that point, I mean, people who know me, I do pride myself in being a bit of a connector and a wrangler of people and talent wrangler, like, oh, you need somebody, let me help you. But also being available. So many people helped me on the way up, right? That this is part of paying it forward. And I make myself available to meet with people, to stay in touch with people. I don't care what they look like, you know, or what they're doing. As long as they're professional, I try to, you know, keep them, you give them advice. And I sometimes give them little assignments and get back to me. But I do that quite a bit because that's why not? Why shouldn't I do that? That's what it's about. You know, that's my capital. Do you know what I mean?
And we all need to have some capital.
We need capital.
Well, Sue, I really appreciate it. Is there anything else besides this, any stories you like to tell?
I don't know if we have time for it. Like, you tell me.
No, let's give them one good story about me. I think it's a glimpse into my travel life.
Okay, then I have permission to proceed with the anecdote. So,
with caution. Oh, yeah, no, go.
Well, Suanna, first of all, again, kudos to you because I admire your energy and your, you know, all the things you're doing. You're a great role model life beyond the sport. And you've always been proactive in so many aspects of your life, whether it's social justice. And so
thank you.
Really very, very, you know, happy for you. And we're lucky to have you doing all your good stuff. So, okay. So now let's get to the nitty gritty here. So many years ago when Swin and I were working together, the Women's Sports Foundation had its annual charity, their benefit, the gala, thank you. And it was held at the very famous Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York, and black tie, and all the athletes are in beautiful gowns and all that. So Swin, of course, is dressed to the nines. She looks, you know, like a model, and we're sitting at the Nike table. It's all good. And the event ends, but then there's going to be an after party. And so all the athletes were staying in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And Swin was not going to continue wearing this gown. She needed to do a change. And so she said, you know, Sue, come up to my room. I'm going to change. I want to get into like a more appropriate, you know, outfit for this after party. I said, sure. Okay. So we go up to her room and we go into the room, the hotel room. And I look and I said, Swin, how many days are you in New York? Because she wasn't living in New York at the time. How many days are you here? She said, three. In her room was a steamer trunk suitcase the size that a small family could have fit into, right?
I probably could have slept in it.
You could have like smuggled people in. It was a huge steamer trunk. Really, you could have fit like a year's worth of clothing. I said, you're here for three. Like, what are you doing with this steamer trunk? She looked me right in the eye without batting an eye and said, Sue, I need options.
Ladies, do you feel me out there? I mean, when you travel, Sue, you have to have options. What if that dress didn't fit right? What if something didn't look?
I guess the takeaway in life, you need options.
You need options. You need options too. Oh, that story never gets old because to this day, my husband will tell you, I definitely still
true.
Need
It's all true. Options. You haven't changed.
I haven't. I'm hoping my son doesn't pick this up, but if I have a daughter,
Watch out. It's all good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And again, before we get out of here, let's just remind them when, WISE.
Sure. We have our annual events, big annual events in June, June 18th, the WISER Symposium in Midtown Manhattan. Great day of panels, discussions, great content for career advice. The following day, Wednesday, June 19th, we'll have our annual 25th annual WISE Women of the Year Awards Luncheon at the Ziegfeld Ballroom. And all the information can be found at wiseworks.org.
Yes, absolutely. Look, Sue, now you're on my side of it. You're getting the promos and everything. Bam. All right. We appreciate you all. Thanks, Sue, again for joining us on She's Got Time. Please come back anytime. And then, you know, maybe we'll come to the symposium and maybe we'll do a live hit from there.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, we can do something.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
Great. Thanks.
So thanks again to Sue Roden for joining us on She's Got Time. Definitely some gems that she dropped on this podcast. And of course, make sure you check out the organization that she's a founder of in WISE. Now we got to get to our take a seat, take a bow, level up, and straighten your crown. Of course, I have to give the take a seat this week to Art Kelly. Now, he's gotten a take a seat before here on She's Got Time podcast, but for any of you that saw the clips that came out from the interview between Gail King of CBS News and Art Kelly, you were able to see just how kind of a little bit crazy that interview got, how all the emotions bubbled up from Art Kelly, and he kind of lost it a little bit in the interview. Now, understanding there's some serious allegations that are up against him right now where he could possibly spend the rest of his life in prison. I'm not here to judge one way or another. I'm not going to give you my full emotions, but you all pretty much know where I stand in regards to making sure that we protect women, especially young girls here in this country and around the world. But it was amazing to see him just get so emotional and going off, and he just needs to take a seat. Even if you feel that you're innocent, R. Kelly, which many do not believe, you still cannot asked to do an interview and lose your complete cool and emotions the way that you did. And for me this week, you have to take a seat because right now you're going to have to sit down. And yes, nobody's trying double jeopardy with you. The courts will have its due process and work everything out, but nobody wants to hear you screaming about you're the victim now. Trust me, there's too much evidence that's out there to say you're a complete victim in all of this. So the way that you behave to me just says you need to take a seat. And even if this is not true, the allegations, then you fight. You fight what you have to. You present the facts and the evidence, but nobody's out here having feeling you're a victim or feeling sorry for you right now, R. Kelly. So that whole show that went on, please take a seat and save us all that drama. My take a bow has to go to the ultimate professional in Gail King, because I tell you one thing, I love to watch people interview because I love to do interviews with athletes and inventors, anybody, it doesn't matter, the everyday person. I love to sit down and learn a story by asking you questions and having that back and forth. That interpersonal communication is something that I love. But Gail King, she handled herself like a pro. When I say a pro, she was so unbothered when R. Kelly jumped up and was yelling at the camera and yelling over top of her. It was like she just had this stone cold face that I am not going to move. I'm not going to budge. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to conduct this interview in the most professional way. And it let me know that I still have some work that I have to do. I'm still young in this game where I would love to one day get to Gail King status. But the way that she just showed how to handle an interview of that intensity and that magnitude, shout out to Gail King. Take a bow, because I was definitely blown away by your not only professionalism, because I've heard Gail host events and I've seen her on television, but the way that she just made sure she gathered that whole interview unbothered, got to the facts, got to the questions, and did not even move. I think her legs were crossed the whole time. It was perfect. Gail, shout out to you. And lastly, my level up and straighten your crown has to go to a sixth grader named Jabari Talbot. And now some of you are saying, well, who is Jabari? Well, Jabari is a kid that actually got arrested and got charges against him for not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. And the reason why I'm giving him the level up and straighten your crown, and also not only to him, but also to Roc Nation and to Jay-Z, who got those charges dismissed, because right now, as our young kids are under attack, as kids, especially in the African American community, are under attack at times, whether it's through police brutality, whether that is through systematic things that have been put in place for them and the justice system, whether that's in schools where the system is not even set up at times for them to get the best education they could get. So this young boy decided that he didn't want to stand for something that he didn't believe in. And to me, kids are now saying we have a voice and we want to not only let our voice be heard, but our actions be heard as well. So shout out to Roc Nation, shout out to Jabari and his family for showing us another example of why kids matter, listening to kids matter, and why the system continues to fail them. But people like Jay-Z, people like Roc Nation, not just talking about it, but being about it and stepping up for our youth. So shout out to them. Just level up and straighten y'all crown this week. All right. And our positive note before we get out of here, to all of my people that are out there, being the best you doesn't mean you always have to say yes to everything. That's my positive note, because a lot of times, just because you're a good person, people feel that you're going to say yes to everything. Yes to borrowing money. Yes to volunteering. Yes to helping. Yes to doing this. Yes to doing that. The reality is, it's okay sometimes just to say no. Self-care, self-love, we all need it. So y'all remember to hit us up on social media. Look, you got to hit us up on our platforms. We need to hear from you. We love to hear from you. All right. So we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on IG at She's Got Time. Also, you can email us swinggottime@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to watch us, which I know a lot of you do, make sure you go into our YouTube channel and you're subscribing at She's Got Time. We'll see you next week. Appreciate you always. Swing Cash. They call her Swing Cash. Peace. Swing Cash. I call her Swing Cash.